is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, when you think about your marriage and you think about how could we actually get to a better place? How could we get unstuck? How could we feel healthier about how we're relating to each other? Have you ever thought, you know what? I think we need more gratitude. That would be the place to start. I bet you haven't. Or I hope maybe you have if you've been listening to the show for the last couple of weeks. But when you turn to God's Word, it is absolutely one of the best starting places you see. God thought it's one of the things we need to cultivate most, not just in our relationship with our spouse, but in our relationship with Him, because these two things feed and fuel each other. Well, here's what I want to do in the show today. I want to begin to dig in a little more and help you see. So often what I love is the Christian life is not overly complicated. And God doesn't want, He's a good Father, to give us 59 things to work on. I love it. When I begin to work on one area, very often what you'll see is that one area, if you begin to move forward and repent and grow in that area, it affects multiple other areas. So here's what I want you to get a hold of. If you've been pushing back at all and saying, yeah, gratitude, I don't think so. Tell me something else. What I want to do in this show is tell you some of the extra fruits, some of the bonus that you will see in your life if you get a hold of this. Because here's what's going on. A grateful heart, you realize this? A grateful heart keeps you killing and cultivating some of the right things in your life, some of the most important things in your life. I don't know about you, but I still have I have to fight my way through a heart. My heart is still a sinful heart, so is yours, that drifts and even gravitates towards some really destructive things for me and other people around me. And if you do, then let me recommend gratitude as a means, because it's a ramp that takes me to some other good places. Here's what I'm talking about. Number one, let me give you one bonus area. Gratitude keeps pride from taking root in your heart. Oh, a grateful heart. In other words, think about your heart as soil. Pride struggles to take root in the soil of gratitude. These two things are like oil and water. You cannot have a grateful heart and a prideful heart at the same time. So gratitude just won't give a place to let pride settle in and take root, because gratitude is the spade or the rototiller in your heart that just won't let it take root. Grateful people, think about it. Grateful people think and talk about God and others far more than themselves. Ungrateful people tend to focus on their needs, their hurts, their desires, their failures. Well, no, not their failures, the failures of others, how everyone around them has failed them. So what's going on? Very often, pride.
And don't we see that so much in our culture now?
Oh.
It's like lauded, like,
because what's
my
said,
rights, my
yeah.
needs, you haven't met what I wanted.
It's like our culture now has given permission, more than permission, has actually said, you must do this.
To be true to yourself.
Yeah. And so be quick to be offended.
And it's
be
a train
quick
wreck
to be hurt.
In your relationships.
Be quick to stand up for yourself. And it's so destructive to relationships.
Right. I mean, and really, and we see that not just in marriage, with your children, with your church relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you live like that, just waiting for someone to offend you, it's going to happen often. And then people no one's going to come and say, you're easily offended. You get your feelings hurt way too easy. I don't have time for this. They're just going to back away from you and think, whoa, dangerous person, difficult person, VD, very draining person.
VD, very, yes. EGR, extra grace required right there. Yeah. What are you got any thoughts on that, Vicki? How you've seen this relationship between gratitude and pride?
Yes.
With cultivating gratitude actually helping you do battle against one of our biggest root sins, pride.
They're very related. And I think I just would like to ask the listeners, have you ever had these thoughts? No one notices how much I do. Am I the only person that can unload the dishwasher in this whole house? If I died, they would see how much I do around here and really miss me. Notice what all those have in common. How much I do. Am I the only person? If I died, they would see how much I do. So I have a little thing that helps me, because I think, once again, we've talked about in some of our stories about lifelong issues. And I think pride was a very, that was, it was very sweet the way I did it, and no one would know.
Oh, it was sweet pride.
It was sweet pride.
Nice.
Yes, not sinful.
Candy-coated pride.
Candy-coated pride.
Your pride.
Very Southern.
Are you saying your pride didn't stink like my pride?
I don't think it did.
As you brought it into our marriage?
I really don't think it did.
Well, it didn't taste sweet, girl.
But I think I was a very, I was prideful about, you know, I made good grades, I obeyed my parents, I didn't get in trouble, blah, blah, blah. So when we
you were on A Avenue.
I was on A Avenue, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what set me off on my wrong course.
It's hard to see past that.
So I think, once again, when we got in marriage and I was living at close range with someone, that became more evident what kind of a proudful person I was. And so for me, this is something I came up with in my life. This is a red flag to me that something's not right. When I start to notice what everyone around me isn't doing for me, that's pride. So I'm going to say it again. When I start to notice what everyone around me isn't doing for me, that's a real helpful hint that, wow, I'm heading down. I need to bring some humility to the situation.
So that's a signal.
Right.
And that now for you is like a warning dash light on your dashboard of your heart.
Right.
When I have those kind of thoughts.
Right. So recently, and once again, I'm still on the drawing board. I'm still learning. I haven't arrived yet. So I still regularly battle with pride, and I'm trying to kill it and cultivate humility, but it's a constant battle. And one thing, it was probably like 4 years ago, it was Mother's Day. It's always on a Sunday. I have 5 children. I did birth all 5 of them. I am their mother. It's Mother's Day. So Brad always goes to church like at 7 in the morning. So I've always come later. I get to church. Everyone's, hello, happy Mother's Day. Thank you, thank you. No one in my family has said happy Mother's Day to me yet. I think at this time, we maybe had people in high school and people out of the home. So I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be at least a text, maybe a little gift, you know. So people at church are saying hello. Some women have corsages. I don't really want a corsage, but I'm happy for them. And so just more and more, I keep thinking, wow, like, Brad hasn't said happy Mother's Day. I mean, he obviously is preaching 2 or 3 sermons in a row. What is he supposed to say?
I don't think I've seen you yet.
He probably hadn't. Yeah, I mean, you know.
I could have left a note. I could have put a post-it on the
mirror. I'm expecting these things. I'm expecting these. And I don't know how I got down this rabbit hole. Once again, I didn't wake up thinking people should acknowledge Mother's Day. This is a big day. I'm not normally, I want to hope I'm not always like that. Mm. But for this day, I was. And so I think because the kids were older, I think I expected a little more. Like, okay, now you have a mother.
Yeah.
So I remember after church on Sunday, this thought just kept going over and over in my mind. Couldn't really get out of my head. This is Mother's Day and nothing's been done for me on Mother's Day. And so I stopped at our local convenience store and thought, well, if no one has done anything for me for Mother's Day, then I'll just have to do something that I want to do.
Do something for myself.
Do something for me, my time. Mm-hmm. So I went and got a big 44-ounce.
Mm.
Styrofoam cup.
Pebble crushed ice.
The nugget ice, Diet Mountain
Nothing
Dew.
Nothing says happy Mother's Day
I'll
like
say,
crushed ice.
I mean, that's right. You know, they had those little things you can buy.
Mm.
Heard about
yeah,
those.
Machine.
Yeah,
I've,
yeah.
I've actually thought about that to surprise you on Christmas.
Wow.
But notice all I've done is thought about it.
I'm not going to think about
I've also
this.
Thought
I
about
deserve the, this.
I've pictured that huge machine on our counter and thought, I want
to
see
He's type
that.
A, doesn't like to see things on the counter.
But go ahead.
Yes. So as I'm sitting there thinking, all right, so there's a lady behind the counter and I'm thinking, well, it's Mother's Day. Normally I get a Diet Mountain Dew 44-ounce with crushed ice. But I mean, this is Mother's Day, so I'm just going to go over here and look at these little cakes. They had, it's really sad little cakes. Chocolate cake with chocolate icing or carrot cake with white icing, sour cream icing. And they're wrapped in cellophane. So I thought, yeah, I mean,
and
it's Mother's Day.
This is a gas station convenience store.
Yes.
Yes. Got to be amazing cake.
Yeah, really.
Not.
I do like cake of any sort. So I thought, I'm just going to get one of those because it's Mother's Day and no one's acknowledged that it's Mother's Day. Mm. So I walked up to the counter to pay for my drink. And normally I'll make small talk with whoever's behind the counter. But instead, I just went into my little rant and just said, well, yes, today's Mother's Day and I have five children, but nothing's been done for me. Mm. So I just decided that I'm going to go ahead and get myself this large 44-ounce drink and this little piece of cake. And it was almost like as I'm talking to her, ranting, I had this out-of-body experience. And this girl's just looking at me like, what in the world is wrong with this lady? These poor kids that had this woman as a mother, what's she like to live with? And then I just thought, okay, what has come over me? And so then I had to get in the car and repent. But I did eat my cake still. But good. I just thought, you know, so when I start noticing, what have people not done? And then once again, you know, just kids need lots of time. Give them till 12 o'clock that night. And even then, some of them may not say Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. But, you know, cards came in. Somebody came over.
Things started happening.
It's just like they're not going to happen before 12 in the afternoon. Yeah. So, you know, be patient with the kids. But I think that's the kind of, I don't want to be that kind of mother. You know what I mean? That's demanding and has all these. Once again, I hadn't said to anyone, hey, it's Mother's Day. I expect something. But in my mind, and I think that's how I used to do you.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about something good. Something bonus that can take place in your life as you cultivate gratitude that you want to express to God and your spouse.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a second. Hey, maybe you've never been the person that's standing in the middle of the gas station going on a rant, but hey, if you've been married more than 5 minutes, you've had a version of that moment. You've expected something, didn't say it out loud, and then you found yourself frustrating that nobody even noticed. That's just being human, I think. That's what I also love about what Brad and Vicki have been unpacking in this gratitude series. They're not dealing with just the major life stuff, the crisis issues. It's the small, normal stuff. Gratitude's your reset button and the thread running through this whole series, and it has been so incredible. Helpful. Now, if you're tracking with this and you're thinking, I want to keep working on this, there's a resource that might help. It's a short booklet by Stuart Scott called Pride and Humility. It is simple, it is straightforward, and it just gives you some clarity on where pride hides and how to push back against it. You can pick it up right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's Pride and Humility by Stuart Scott. Also, if you haven't downloaded the Fortis Plus app just yet, let me just say that you're missing out. Totally free. There's no paywalls. You're not going to run up against anything like that that says, oh, I want to listen to this. I want to watch this. And you click on it and it's like, ah, well, you got to enter your credit card information. None of that here. You're not going to find that with Fortis Plus. You're just going to buy solid biblical content dropped every single day. Teaching from Brad and Vicki, like you're listening to now. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. Integrated with Dr. Andrew Walker and others. All of them. Just search Fortis Plus in your app store or head to fortisplus.org. And if this has encouraged you today, if Thrive has encouraged you or any of our other resources encourage you, if it's helped you get back on track with something that you've been struggling with, we want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. This ministry has been producing biblical content for over 25 years. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to creating that content, tools just like this podcast. But we cannot do it without you. We need your help. We need gospel partners just like you. Now, we always say this and absolutely mean it. If you're not giving to your local church, do not give to this ministry. But if you are giving to your local church and you're in a good place where you can go above and beyond that, and you believe in what we're doing here at Fortis, we would love to have you on the team. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now. All right, now let's get back to Brad and Vicki as they continue to talk about cultivating gratitude in your marriage. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Digney.
Well, you're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about gratitude, and we're pushing the envelope saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not just that gratitude would be great and make a difference in your marriage. It's that gratitude brings with it a host of good fruit, as well as the power and ability to put to death some other really bad things that you don't want to see growing and going in your life. So we talked about gratitude keeps pride from taking root in your life. Let me give you a second thing. Gratitude paves the way for peace and wisdom in your life. Most of us, with the hectic day that we live in, the stressful day that we live in, the fast-paced day that we live in, the number of things we just know from social media and information and news outlets and connected with relationships, we would love some more peace and wisdom. I need wisdom for this life, and I would love a little more peace in my heart. So listen to the connection. I want to share with you another passage from the Bible. I love it when I see something that I'm talking about or thinking about or trying to cultivate in my life woven through a passage in a way that makes me realize, wow, that connects some other good things that I get to get a hold of here. You see it in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Listen to what this passage says. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. I love that word rule right there in the Greek. It is a word that literally meant to umpire your heart, to call balls and strikes. So like the umpire behind the plate decides that was a ball, that was a strike. Imagine the peace of Christ umpiring your heart and helping you know, don't keep that there. Don't think about that more.
Very helpful.
Don't stew on that. Don't ponder that. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. The peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called. Here it is. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here we go again. He hits it again. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, he says it a third time. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. I love to tell our church family, and I'll tell you, when you see God's word repeating itself, it's not that the Holy Spirit needed a better editor. It's that God knows there's something that we struggle to get a hold of. So he'll say it, say it, say it. And so it's worth noting that giving thanks is embedded three times in this passage about the peace of Christ ruling your heart and the word of Christ dwelling in your heart. I want his peace to rule a little more. I want his word to dwell a little more. And right in the mix, three times, he says, and get a hold of this. This is what'll move you there. This is what'll get you there. This is what'll keep you there. Giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks. I don't know about you, but I want those two things happening in my life more and more, the peace of Christ and his word dwelling in me. What about you, Vicki? Have you seen a connection at all with peace and wisdom as a result of cultivating gratitude and stirring this up?
I think without realizing it, I'd believe the lie that my joy and my happiness and basically having a good life was dependent upon Brad and what he was doing. Therefore, I must change him. So this whole concept of...
And let me tell you, this was not fun for Brad. Because this was not announced out loud.
Hey, it was the same way around.
This was never stated out loud, but I did feel, whew, something's off here. Something's really off.
It was off. But I think when I realized and I was taught, you know, I can have joy and peace and happiness as I focus on Christ and who he is and what he's done. When my joy is tied to that, not only how my husband is responding or not responding or acting, and the fact that I can please Christ whether my husband changes at all or not, that was very freeing. Therefore we make it our aim, whether absent or present from the Lord, to be pleasing to him. I can please Christ and have joy daily, even if you never do what a lot of things, truthfully, that I thought you should be doing. They weren't even stuff you should be doing. So I'll own that. But part of it was that was very freeing to me and gave me much peace when I realized my happiness is tied to Christ, not how good my marriage is, not how well my kids are performing in school. That was a game changer.
Just notice the difference even. As you made that shift, you actually put yourself more in control. When you approach your marriage and life the way you described initially,
it's exhausting.
You've actually put someone else in control. So you're totally dependent on Brad to do what you need to get him to do.
Right.
Well, you're going to be frustrated.
And kind of on me.
Because you've given someone
else. Making him do it.
Yeah.
Once again, impossible.
And it's like.
He's a Mr. Command.
I hope. I don't know where you are in life right now, how long you've lived, how long you've related to other sinful people. I hope you're starting to realize there is one person you can actually control mm-hmm. and change, and that's you. And so when you bring it back more to, wait a minute, what would God ask of me? What should I be focused on? What should I be thinking about? What should I be seeing? You'll start to feel better immediately.
Yes.
When you're waking up with, what do I need my kids to do so that I feel like a good mom?
Also,
what do I need my husband to do so that you're going to just stay frustrated.
And then I think wisdom comes in when, you know, wisdom to me is seeing my life from God's perspective, not mine. So seeing my life from
Say that
God's
again.
See, wisdom is seeing my life from God's perspective and not my perspective. So when he's showing me things and I can respond, I'm getting wisdom in that situation. I'm getting grace to obey him in this area because it's not natural. It's not natural mm-hmm. to keep, even in the midst of trials, to be joyful or to be cheerful or to be thankful. But as you lean into that and you get more of God's grace, you do get more joy and you do get more peace. And you really feel like, this is what I was made to do. Mm. I mean, I can do this. This is not as exhausting as trying to control my children, control my husband. And once again, you know, especially with children, there's things we need to be training them to do.
Yeah.
But
so you're not saying
I'm not training my husband, right?
But you're talking about mainly kind of back to where we were earlier, identity. If my sense of worth and joy and peace is tied to them doing what I need them to do so that I feel good about me. Whew,
and when I'm following God's plan and not what I think my agenda should be, it's actually just more relaxing. You can just kind of go,
yeah.
I can just breathe easy. This isn't all about me trying to ramrod all this through. Because believe me, with living with six other people, you know, you're going to be constantly frustrated.
Yeah.
Not just a husband, five other kids. I mean, you know, you're going to be frustrated. So what is God's plan and how am I supposed to respond? God, give me wisdom to respond to my husband, to my kids. Then that's just going to give me more contentment and peace because I'm trying to do it his way and not ramrod my own agenda through. And it's very freeing.
Oh, and even as you said that, Vicky, it made me think one of my favorite places in Scripture.
He has lots of favorite places.
And I do. She says that I say that about everything. I don't. But I do have a lot of favorites.
It's okay.
Psalm 46 at the end really captures well what Vicky was just saying. When you, in a sense, let God be God. Stop trying to be God. Stop trying to control everything, especially people around you. It is so much more peaceful and freeing. So listen to what it says in Psalm 46, verse 10. This is God speaking. Be still and know that I am God. Nobody wakes up and says, you know what, I'm gonna be God today. But they try.
Yes.
And I think especially in relationships that are important to us, without realizing it, you're trying to be God. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And what I love about that verse is in the original Hebrew, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, that verb be still is not even so much talking about be quiet. That's why one translation translates it, cease striving. You're thrashing, you're striving, you're working. As Vicky said just a moment ago, you've got this agenda that you've clutched in your hand that you're trying to move forward, and I must have it like this, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to control this. And then you wonder why you're exhausted. And you're like, oh God, you got to help me. I'm just so exhausted. I'm so exhausted. And on a lot of days, I think if he was to speak out loud to us, he'd be saying, let me help you here. I need you to stop striving and let me be God.
Right. And I think another verse that goes along with that is, you know, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Says, I'm proud. I'm moving down my prideful way, doing my own thing. He's not going to help me accomplish that.
So
and
he
it
sees,
is exhausting.
He sees a wrong heart, you're prideful, and then he sees you striving, trying to push your agenda of what you think has to happen. He's not going to give you grace. And you're not going to experience peace.
But get in on what he's showing you about you and start working on that. And then you're going to be getting grace and peace and joy. And you can relax more.
Because he knows how frail we are and how weak we are.
Right.
It's actually on us that sometimes we're trying to do things he never designed us or created
us to do. We weren't meant
to
rule the world.
Yes.
There's only one God.
Oh, we're talking about how your marriage could begin to thrive, and we're bringing into view gratitude and actually expanding it for you, because we're hoping you'll get excited about actually doing this, cultivating this, to some other good things that could happen in your life if you begin to cultivate a heart of gratitude.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.